Blog Talk Radio.
Another day in paradise. Just another day in paradise. We have a nice board for tonight. We got a nice phone board for tonight. We got two folks on hold already. And I think we're going to have a little bit of fun. How about that?
Excellent.
Yep. So, yeah, I think we got lots of poetry. We have a good many audios. And I think that that will just... yeah, it'll just be good, I think. That's my bestest. I think.
Got quite a bit on the board, too. I see EJ out there, Diane, Gray, Emiliana, Weaver.
Yes.
Everybody is on the board.
I like when they're on the board. It's like, hello, hello, everybody. Hello. Wait, I'll wave. Here, I'll give them a good old wave. This is a show wave.
Well, if you're going to do that right, you ought to do it right, right. It's got to be, hello, 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 hello.
Hello. I got that one. I just don't usually just think to start it. So let me see. Let me pick up these two calls because Well, they're here. Hello, Weaver. How are you tonight?
Hello, 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 hello. I'm wonderful, thank you.
Very good.
Excellent.
Can you feel your tongue now?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sorry.
That's a hell of a question to ask in the radio.
I was, yes, slightly. Yes, I do. I actually feel my tongue now. Thank you very much indeed. I might not sound like it, but I do.
Oh, well, I'm glad of that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, it's good to have you with us tonight. Now, let me pick up Miss Pam Ray. Hello, Pam Ray, Pam Ray, Pam Ray.
Hello, Jean. Hello, Rex. Hello, Weaver. Good to
hello,
hear you all.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, Weaver.
See,
Pam.
We could do
no,
that.
No.
Wait, save me. Don't save me. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those nights. Anyway, yes. So, how are you tonight, Pam?
You know, I am doing great. Life is good, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with y'all.
Very good, very good. I'm glad to hear that. I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about now that we've gotten all the greetings and salutations out of the way, but, you know, we're here. Oh, my God. So I don't know. Is there anything I need to talk about? Oh, anything, everything, no things. I don't know. We got carryovers, we got originals, we just got good stuff, I guess. Like I say, we have a fair amount of audios, which is always nice. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. I don't know. Anybody? Somebody say something to shut me up, will you?
I'm trying to be good and not interrupt anybody.
I'm typing. I can't talk and type at the same time. I'm giving Gray a nickname because somebody called his hand wave earlier a karate chop. So from now on, I'm going to call him Karate Chop Gray.
Let's
see if it sticks.
Yes, I did see that conversation earlier, which was kind of funny.
What? You're taking away his originality? You're taking away the Raven Whisperer?
Oh, God. I don't know. Everybody's got something. You're hanging L&P long enough, you might never know what somebody might call you. You know, we have these little, you know, things that pop up and become. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. No, so anyhow, I don't know.
And how are you doing today, Phil?
Oh, you know, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. I tried to take a nap. It lasted, maybe 45 minutes. I said, well, that ain't happening. And so you're all stuck with me being punchy. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm doing pretty good, I guess. It was not a bad day. It was... you know, well, I don't know, a little busy, a little not. You know, I made dinner. Some people ate, some people didn't. I said, the hell with them. Oh, did I say that? I did. I forgot I'm on the phone with him. I said, the heck with them, I said. The heck with them, I said. Yeah. No, but it turned out all right. So the ones that did meet, well, just be hungry. So. And let me see. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Let's see.
Awesome.
Well, Rex,
thought.
You want to talk about a thing? La 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 la. I don't think Rex heard me.
I don't think so either. I think
me neither. I think maybe I'm just going to go ahead and grab a pole. I know. I said, are we ignoring me then? I know you
no.
Didn't hear me. Yeah. See? Let me see what I got.
All right.
Oh,
what have you got, then?
Who, what? What, who?
How?
my hearing aid. Okay, let's try it again. I don't hear anything now. That's pretty bad. Guess the battery's gone. Oh. Just kidding.
I heard
I don't
that
have
too, DJ.
Well, I don't know, but I think I'm going to grab a poem, and I'm going to make Rex read it because he didn't say nothing. And we're going to start
well,
there.
What would you like? What would you like me to say? Something like, down where the shadows go, way down below, welcome to the radio, come fill my eyes with painted glow.
Oh, like
wow. I think Rex is tripping on something.
Moonshine.
That's right. I didn't get no moonshine. What's up with that? I don't get none of the good stuff. That's because you know all how I get it if I get drunk. That would be terrible. You only ever done that once on the radio.
I'll be followed by the moonshine. Moonshine, moonshine.
Hey, that's a good tune for that. God. Oh, she says a little. I want a little. I never get nothing. See? Stay in my life. Come on. I got a bottle of gin here. Don't you worry. It's all good. Okay, I'll tell you what, Rex. I'm going to have you kick us off with The Hunter by Cedar Chapman. It's safer that way.
Oh, I see.
Whatever you read.
The Hunter by Cedar Chapman. I forage through arctic fog, as forest limbs sway to and fro. Like withered arms of old witches, I hear the wild beast call to me, daring me to follow. My arrows sharper than wit, and quills crying to fly, though with bidding comply. Winter winds wail its warning, skinning my wool armor. It whittles my mind like a razor bowie knife, leaving flakes of sanity. At the trail of crackling snowprints, the beast woos from afar, in harmony with the wintry song, taunting me to trek along. Snow falls from angry skies, blanketing hills like a white burial. The misty haze glows and bends the evergreens like a drunken acrylic artist. My path, a folly with no eyes, only the haunting faint echo of the beast as a guide. Still, the hunt must go on. Up and down, round and round, everywhere a gray ocean, where ghost hunters loom, chasing a shadow beast to their inevitable doom. In these last moments, as my blood freezes and veins burn to ice, it is I who learn of my invitation to join hunter and prey, all but one in the same. And one.
Nice.
All right, Weaver, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, okay, mate, no problem. Yes, I can do it, as long as I don't start speaking in a Scottish accent, because then we will need a translator. But at the moment, we're okay. I'm speaking English again. Oh, yes, this is, I'm actually cold listening to that. That is so winter wind wail, it's warning. Isn't that beautiful? But yes, I see in the AN that we're being told this is about blind ambition often gets the better of us, decisions that sometimes are detrimental with no return. So obviously that's why we have the thing, the few lines at the end. My invitation to join hunter and prey are all but one and the same. So yes, it comes right down to that, doesn't it, that we're all the same. And I think that's brilliant. But I thought the poem itself was beautifully written. So thank you, Cedar.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate this one. It has a wonderful formation with the flowing of the line and the word choicing. I like how in the very beginning with I forged through arctic fog, it makes me think of somebody hunting a polar bear. But what I like is they really don't say an exact animal. They say, I hear the wild beast call to me, daring me to follow. And you really do get a sense of someone who, you know, really is blind to the danger that is following them because they become so obsessed obsessed with proving themselves. And this is amazing all the way through, but I do especially like leaving flakes of sanity as a trail of crackling snow prints the beast woos from afar. And I like the idea of somebody, how he expresses the idea of someone completely losing their mind to what they had become obsessed with. So I thought this was very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? Unmute.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go already. I like this piece by Peter Scott. But I do tend to like most all of his work that I've seen so far. Great imagery throughout, and I think that he really expresses his thoughts in this very well. And as we were pointed out, I did like the alliteration in places here. Just very nicely done, a nice touch. And, you know, in reading it, you know, you go down and you're reading about hunting and, you know, and then you get to the ocean, and so, of course, automatically you go to, like, deep sea fishing or, you know, ice fishing or whatever, you know, out in, you know, the big stuff, the big fishing stuff. That's what I do. Yeah, I'm okay. But then when I read his AN, I was kind of like, I thought, what an intriguing thought here. Blind ambition often get the better of us, and we make decisions that sometimes are detrimental with no return. It's important to self-reflect to see if our desire to succeed harms others or harms ourselves. So, you know, I think that this is intriguing to me. You know, ambition, death, family, and friendship were his keywords down at the bottom. And I think that, you know, this is, there's a little more to this, you know, like risking all in order to hunt or to fish like that. And do you know how much you risk to do that and what you really put out there and take a chance, what a risk is involved to do it. So I think that again, this is a great piece by Cedar Chapman, and it's very well done. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Jean. It's on that note of an adrenaline junkie who's so enamored with the lifestyle and what he does do within this that he is blind, because there's all hints and thoughts in this as to what's going on. It's like the matador and the bull, except in this case, the bull or the beast within this particular piece is the matador. In this case, because he offers up those notes, so with bidding, I comply. The beast woos from afar, taunting me to trek along. So it's not just he's no longer the mad dog. He's the easy prey on target, because he doesn't know when to actually. He should have given up on that first stanza. He knows there's something wrong with the situation and the mood. Is elevated in such a way that he shouldn't be walking into this by himself, let alone with somebody else, because it is not a place one should be comfortable with. It's one thing to fight beast for that which you put on the table. It's another doing it just for the fact that it is part of who and what you are, and you let your guard down. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Well, give me a second. I have to drop a link in the room. The last one disappeared. So, here we go. Okay. Who's next to me? Ah, it's that evil one.
Do you know that's your show link?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just a second.
Just ask for it. Let me see now. Okay, Ms. Weaver. I'm going to give you this one. And this is by Kiku, called Gypsy Waters. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you very much. Gypsy Waters. From the village of dragonflies, I was born a vagrant, left to wander towards closing twilight. The Vantablack oak embellished an orient bow on my horizon. strung like Venetian tapestries that billow above chartreuse moss. I hum with voices of the lake, Ferrigan melody my mother once sung, from the pages of antiquity, pray guide me across gypsy waters. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get the lead off.
All right. Well, first of all, beautiful read there, Weaver. I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I like how it has a sense of spirituality to it and, you know, tells us a tale. I really like this one all the way through, but especially the Vanta Black Oak embellished an orate bow on my horizon, and then I hum with voices of the lake, a Ferrigian melody my mother once sung. I like how it's about that idea of the passing down of wisdom from generation to generation and the idea of somebody taking on their own journey. So beautifully written and very well done.
Wow, thank you very much, Kim. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I like the intro, three lines here. From the village of dragonflies, I was born and left to wander toward closing twilight. That right there is so inviting to the story itself that, I really enjoyed that piece. It's a wonderful brevity. I think there's lovely imagery through this. And just really nicely done. And again, to that last stanza that Pam just quoted, I hum with voices of the lake, a Phrygian melody my mother once sung, from the pages of antiquity, pray, guide me across gypsy waters. It was a lovely, lovely piece. And great job, Tisha. Thanks for sharing with us very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. And Weaver, you got to read it. How about you?
Yes, I thought it was lovely. I love the picture. It kind of brings to mind for me Lady of the Lake by Sir Walter Scott. It's got that look about it. And I misspoke. It shouldn't have been bow. It should have been bow, as in the bow of a boat. So I apologize for that. But that makes it slightly different. But yes, I thought I love strung like Venetian tapestries that billow above chartreuse moss. If I could say it, chartreuse moss. I think that's just lovely. I think that's a lovely. Just those two lines are just so. They just bring to mind the wind. You know, the wind through the tapestries. So yes, I thought it was a lovely poem, and thank you for sharing that with us, Keiku.
Excellent. Thank you very much. There is a nice touch of beauty in this, taken from the picture itself. Offering up little tidbits like the Venetian tapestry and that bill above the chartreuse moss. And you look at the picture itself, and you've got that that blanket, which does look like a tapestry itself. So that was a nice touch. And I love the sort of the Vanta Black Oak. It's such a deep, dark color. It absorbs almost 100% of the light that goes into it, thereby creating a 3D image towards a black hole, which is pretty cool. And I like to sort of bring in Phrygian melody, something ancient, age-old, where and has also disappeared to the point that she's the only one left to sing that note, being that she's from the village of the dragonflies, and they've been around forever. Nicely done, Tito. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jamie. We're back to see you.
Okay, Pam, that's going to bring me to you. So I'm going to put up this piece called Hearts of Joy by Rose Winter, 515.
All right. And Hearts of Joy by Rose Winter, 515. Lads and lasses are singing in valleys and mountains and Wales, and the church bells are ringing melodious songs and tales. Sheep safely graze on mountains. Rivers feed springs and fountains, and winds blow the windmill sails. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And this came out of the Rod Stewart contest last week. And this one was For the Rhythm of My Heart. All right, Gene, you got first hands on this one. first thought on this one.
I think this was a wonderful brevity to start, but I believe that it's really a wonderful snapshot because as you read this, it just paints this small picture captured, you know, at this specific time for this specific spot. You know, the sheep were safely grazed on the mountain. The rivers feed springs. Can you get all this imagery? And it does. It comes off as just being a snapshot, a photograph, or, you know, sometimes I say a picture painted. But just very, very well done. And it had wonderful imagery and nice work. So nice job, Rose Winter 515.
Thank you, Jean. And Weaver, how about you?
Yes. The fact that this is about songs being sung in the valleys and mountains of Wales. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why, the Welsh have incredibly good, wonderful singers. And this is just typifies exactly what you'd expect from that particular part of the world. Church bells ringing, melodious songs and tales. Because that's the way people used to carry legends and stories by singing as well as just by telling stories. They sang. And so many people love to join a choir. I think it's wonderful. So I hope it keeps going because the choir is beautiful. And yes, I think this was very enjoyable to read. And thank you very much for sharing Rose Winter 515.
Thank you very much, Dan Weaver. Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this one is just absolutely beautiful. I love how she brought not only in the imagery, but the sound, like the church bells ringing, the melodious songs and tales. And I like how she took the prompt, the rhythm of my heart, and expanded it to the idea of the music and the rhythm that comes from a land and comes from its history. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much, ladies. I know this did come on the cusp of Rod Stewart's Rhythm of My Heart, but I can't help but think of Plant and Page as they spent 1970 around July. They went to Bronny Orr in Wales, a 15th century cottage they spent a few months at, where they wrote all of Led Zeppelin III. So this kind of walks on those notes. The valleys, the mountains, the church bells, the melodious songs and tales walk all in that note of relaxing in the environment and just going out and enjoying the nature of things. Thank you, Rose. All right, Jane.
Not very much. Okay, I'm going to head back to the top of that list, and I'm going to come on down a little bit. And here we go. First piece of the next piece I'm going to put up, that's first. But I'm going to put up, I Want to Give the Best of Me to You by Martha Gill. So, and we haven't heard Martha in a long time. So, it's good to have her back. Let me hit that button.
I want to give the best of me to you. Come on, baby, give me what I need. Promise you've saved the best for me. Our lives will be the best, you know, if you never ever let me go. Because you are so deep in my heart, to let you go would tear me apart. Love grows every day, it's true, and I want to give the best of me to you. Love is not just a word in a song, not since your love came along, not since you took my hand in yours and showed me what a heart is for. Come on, baby, give me what I need. Promise you've saved the best for me. Our lives will be the best, you know, if you never ever let me go. So come kiss my lips and hold me tight. Whisper your love through the night. If I have you beside me, I know that is the only way our love can go.
Great song there, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And all right, Weaver, why don't we start with you?
Oh, yes, it's lovely to hear her back, isn't it? And this is just a song full of hope and joy and love. You have to have somebody you can give your best to. And it's obviously so wonderful when you've got somebody like that that you feel that deeply about. So I thought it was just a sheer, joyous song about love. And it was lovely. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Weaver. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree with Weaver. This is absolutely delightful. I did enjoy the chorus, but I think the part that really stood out to me and really touched my heart was love is not just a word in a song, not since your love came along. I really like that idea that knowing the word love, knowing what it means, knowing how to use it in a song, but not really fully understanding it until true love actually comes along and presents itself. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought Martha did a great job with this. And I congratulations on the upcoming nuptials. And I thought this was wonderful sentiments expressed to her beloved. Just nicely done. So thank you, Martha, for sharing that with us. We get a sneak preview.
Nice, thank you. And you see, this is the second song she wrote for her wedding this fall. So I guess she's going to be singing at her wedding. And did you notice the uptick and flavor in her voice is a little bit more positive than usual songs she writes about the ball rolling down the wrong way, so to speak? This one's a lot happier. This one's a little more in tune with things and shows another side of her.
Yep.
All right, Jean. We're coming to see you once more.
Okay, here we go. The next one I'm going to put up is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called El Muerto. Okay, let me hit that button.
Senador de la Junta Purple Spectral Image of a Luminous Glove. A headless bandit upon a sable stallion, riding forth like a fierce wind blowing. He is the guise of an endless tear, a haunting shadow looming nearby. The townsfolk fear his eerie presence, as they hear and see him in the night. From the Rio Grande to the restless river, his indelible story is known by peasants. A ruthless off-block wanted dead or alive, he was chased by the Texas Rangers. Beheaded and lashed into a saddle of dripping blood in the back of a Mustang. He was condemned to the darkness of the centuries of endless horror. The creepy sounds of the grackles and the howling of the coyotes. A weakly galloping reaper of death, as the hooves of hell burn the ground. From afar emerges a headless ghost, the sinister thief of the hollow souls. The mark sombrero of the bad hand, the restless rider, the Comanche woman. His name is El Muerto.
Great read there, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene. This one starts with you.
Thank you. Well, what a great tale to hold. I love how he did this in public. I thought that was and actually an intriguing way to do it, rather than in standards, you know, quatrains or what have you. I think each one just kind of, nudged it along a little further, just a pulse at a time. Maybe that's it, like a pulse point, you know, ba-boom, ba-boom. But nicely done, and I thought it was an intriguing take on the Headless Horseman, which, you know, of course, you know, I didn't realize that there was an El Muerto, you know, as opposed to the Headless Horseman. It's interesting, a crossover there. But it was well done by Frank, as always. You know, he has a great way of putting the darkness, you know, out there, you know, for everyone to enjoy. So excellent work, and thanks, Frank. We're sharing.
Thank you. And Weaver, how about you?
Oh, that was creepy. Oh, yes. I did enjoy this very much. I thought the townsfolk fear his eerie presence as they hear and see him in the night. That's just, you can imagine how scared they would be if it was out there clicking about on his horse. Creepy sounds of the grackles and the howling of the coyotes. Yes, I thought this built and built. It got to the point where at the end you were expecting almost that eerie, sinister laugh, which was very well done. I liked it a lot. So yes, I think this was a lovely build up to the end of this, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eva. Sam, how about you?
Well, first of all, that was a wonderful read by Frank. Beautifully written couplet. You know, I was the same way, like up until like three or four years ago, I think it was, Phil, somebody did a Halloween show in LNP. I can't remember which show it was, but they did the classic Headless Horseman. And the one that we all think of. And I found out through research that there are actually multiple cultures and areas that have a Headless Horseman tale. So, you know, I like that he tackled a different one. I like that he, because it's the, you know, this Texas, this El Muerto, the, you know, Headless Horseman, it has that good cowboy type feel, like you get from like Louis L'Amour, and kind of like one of his type of stories, but mixed with an element of horror. So really just a very clever telling of the tale and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And I'll bite on that. I first sort of Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but then I also hit on, because of what he's using here, the sexual image or luminous glow, the sable stallion riding forth like a fierce wind blowing, and there was another bit with the, what was that? So, as the hooves of hell burn the ground, I had me thinking of Ghost Rider, going back with the horse itself, leaving those footprints of fire on the ground as he whipped across the desert. But I like this for what it is. And then that idea at the bottom end of not being the urban legend, but offering that thought with the Comanche even fear, this one. And the Comanche don't fear nobody. All right, Jane, way back to you.
Thank you, Doug. Well, I'm going to put the next piece up for you, Rex. So here we go. And this is Underfoot by Jack Tompkins.
Underfoot by Jack Tompkins. I'm underfoot, said the thread-worn carpet, weaving to and fro, underfed, underpaid, underwater in the rainy spring. I'm underfoot, too, said the faux oak floor, scuffed and scratched, my planks cross-patched, interlock like knitted mittens. None see us, only tunas with mop and bucket, or broom, sweep, sweep across the floor. Now the Roomba does the Roomba back and forth. Tired dancer struggling through a third matinee. And poem. All right, Weaver, we got you for the first look on this one.
Okay, thank you. This is so clever, isn't this? So underfoot.
Well, I thought it worked right because he does, where was it, weaving to and fro. So, you got this one up front.
I go. I like the way your mind works. Now, if somebody's given us a poem about gold, I could have that one as well. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is Underfoot by Jack Tomkovitz. What a wonderful name. Yes, underfoot, the fed worn carpet. Underfed, underpaid, underwater in the rainy spring. So basically, we're getting the tail of this incredible rug, fed worn carpet. Scuffed, and then it's lying on an oak floor, which is obviously going up in the world. Yes, I just thought this was a lovely play on the title. It's being cleaned, it's being swept, it's being moved around. I thought it was lovely. I just thought the whole idea was so clever. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Jack.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Pam, you're up.
Absolutely. Well, I thought this was a clever conversational tone between, the floor, the thread-worn carpet, and the raw oak floor, scuffed and scratched. I like how they each express their concerns for everything they go through, and it's got a wonderful sense of humor with the mention of the Roomba doing the Roomba, and I thought that was just that made me smile. And then it got a little more serious at the end, like when you realize that, you know, the floor is so worn out because, you know, here's this tired dancer struggling through a third matinee. And so the worn out floor is an expression of her own struggles. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, sometimes I crack myself up. You know, I liked this piece when we heard it last week because I don't remember when I pulled it. I thought it was Calendar. But I thought it was a fun and lighthearted piece because Jack wrote this while he was sitting in the dentist office waiting for his wife. And, you know, I thought that was something clever that came to mind while he was, you know, sitting there coming up with something to write. And I have to agree with everybody. I think that there was just great points throughout. You know, about the floor itself. And then that those last three lines, tired dancer struggling through the third matinee. You know, just that comparison was pretty decent. I liked it very much. Nice work, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. I'm going to go with the literality because nobody ever thinks what's underfoot. They just take it for granted. And we all forget that note that the cotton and even the faux oak, which is some kind of wood look dressed to look like oak, was alive at one time. So nobody gives it the thought of, hey, it was an organism or a living, breathing entity at one point in time. So that the back angle, tired dancer struggling through a third matinee, kind of gives you an idea of how old this floor and maybe the carpet is. Three generations in the same house with people crisscrossing across the planks, sweeping and cleaning here and there. But the general thought of being used and maybe a little bit abused carpet are offering up. And at least a nice bit of wit. Thank you, Jack. All right, Jane. We're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, as for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up a piece by Passion's Promise. And I think I'm going to read it. So here we go. This is called I Think Your Ass Is Sexy. Oh, baby, baby, I think your ass is sexy. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby, let me know the feelings you are having. I think you are damn sexy, baby. I would love to play the night away. Let's pack up our things and grab a room. If you want to join me, give me a sign, because I am fully loaded and would love to give you all I got. Heart racing, fingertips tracing, the corners of your lips. I start to whisper. Eyes become flirtatious. Come on, baby, show me a sign or some ambition. Oh, baby, baby, I think your ass is sexy. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby, let me know the feelings you are having. His eyes are focused on bosoms rising and red lips parted. Imagination's running wild, and he thinks too. Or he too thinks she said. Cupping her, his mouth devours mauve tips in a race they tumble and fall. Two opposites attracted to the cause. In comes the passion, out comes the cause. Oh, baby, baby, I think your ass is sexy. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby, let me know the feelings you are having. Musical notes stir the intimate quotes. Oh, baby, my dining delight. Kiss and nibble and inhale his pipe. Thirst is quenched, a delicate liquor. He can't help but bite and liquor. Close your strip, leaving buttocks bare. Clinging tight an intimate pair. A twisted duo enjoying the night. I love you, baby. Do you feel all right? Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby. I think your ass is sexy. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby. Let me know the feelings you are having. I know we're sexy, baby. Do this again, maybe? I love how you do me in the midnight air. On top or bottom, neither one cares. Ah, baby, I think you're sexy. I'm fine.
Great, Regine. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you got lead off.
All right. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think she thinks his ass is sexy. But I couldn't No, first of all, great read there, Jean. Very enthusiastically done. I like how this is an answer poem to the song, Do You Think I'm Sexy? With the whole answering back, like, yes, absolutely, I think you're sexy. I really like musical notes stir in the intimate quote, oh, baby, my inner delight, kiss and nibble and inhale his pipe. Thirst is quenched, a delicate liqueur. Wonderful lines there. I like how this is all about the appreciation for a sexy derriere, and wonderful, right? Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Reba, how about you?
That was beautifully read. That was really good. I enjoyed it very much. You did it so well. Although I did expect you to sing it, so I'm a little bit disappointed, but maybe next time. No, I thought this was a wonderful play on that Rod Stewart song. As you said, I think it was you, Pam, that said it was like an answer to it, to that song, and I think, yes, just so well done. And musical notes to the inanimate quotes, oh, baby, my dining delight. I thought that was a wonderful. But yes, I thought it was very, very well written, and there's just so much you really can't. But I just think the refrain was lovely. The refrain was so cute. Oh, baby, baby, I think your ass is sexy. That was just so good. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Passion's Promise. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Weaver. And Jane, you got to read it, and you got to read the long one for a change.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, I didn't want, I was typing this as Pam was saying this. I said, well, I think you think his ass is sexy. I thought it was a clever reflection of the prompt and a fun piece. So nice work, and thank you so much, Thomas, for sharing with us all the through. It was a good, funny piece.
Oh, absolutely. Pam, you're right. I think it is just that note. I think your ass is sexy. But it also plays off parts of the song, that refrain. Oh, baby, baby, I think your ass is sexy. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby, let me know. That plays off the song itself. And see, so the other little tidbits in this. If you want to join me, give me a sign because I'm fully loaded and would love to give you all I got. And what else we got? Yeah, anyway. You're right. It is a touch from off the an answer to that song, but it also kind of hits on that note of this being a kind of a wish in the moment, because grab my number and call me. So this is the bartender noticing somebody, so to speak. Grab my number and call me. Come on, baby, let me know the feelings you're having. So there's that idea of a wish in the moment of seeing that sexy ass noticing it, and then trying to get a delivered promise on that. All right, Jane. Well, back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, the next one I have has an audio. I'd like to see another one from your Rod Stewart contest. And this was based on the same song. So this is called Hot Sex by Betty Page. So I'm going to put the audio on. That's our girl. Here we go.
Hot sex. I want your hot sex. You can wear me out. Make me scream and shout. You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. Want your sugar lips. Come on, swing those hips. We can twirl and dip. You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. I want your fine cake that goes shake, shake, shake. Lightning, thunder, quake. You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. Wanna sip your wine? You taste so divine. Have you any time? You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. Come on, wear me out. Make me scream and shout. Swing hips, twirl. Let's dip. You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex, hot sex, hot sex, hot sex. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Weaver, you got first dibs on this one.
Thank you, my dear. Yes, this is... I'm getting a bit hot myself, to be honest. Hey. Yes. I wasn't expecting this. Yeah, I thought that was... It was so well read. And it just... I love things that just flow. You expect them to go along so beautifully. And this one did this completely flow through it all. And I could hear the song in my head at the same time as I was listening to it being read. So it was really lovely. I like, want your sugar lips. Come on, swing those hips. We can twirl and dip. You know what I'm talking about. I think that's just, yeah. I liked it an awful lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pam?
Yeah, this was a clever and fun write. You know, I really enjoyed the enthusiasm in which she read it. Let's see. I really like, I want your fine cake that goes shake, 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 lightning, thunder, quake. You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. So really just a fun write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, this was a fun piece. I think Betty had a good time writing it and reading it as well. I thought it was a good take on the prompt. It was clever. Let's see. I grabbed this standard here. Want to sip your wine? You taste so divine. Have you any time? You know what I'm talking about. Hot sex. You know, I mean, Betty just, you know, I don't know. It was clever. It was fun. And it fit the prompt, so it was a great job. Thanks, Betty, as always.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's a great play on Hot Legs. Even rolls in with a little bit of a song, Hot Legs, You Can Wear Me Out. Hot Legs, and then you scream and shout. So, and that thought with the, where was it? I think Pam hit on. Yeah, I want your fine cake that goes shake, shake, shake. Kind of a nice backup to the last one with I think your answer's sexy. So we got back to back plays on two songs. Well done, ladies. We're back on you.
Oh, my. Okay, let's see. I'm down to there. Okay, so the next one, let's see. Weaver, I have one for you. So that means it's up. And this one is Let Go of Expectations, Change the Channel by My Angels 3. So whenever you're ready, honey.
Thank you, my dear. I'm just getting that up. There we have it. Let Go of Expectations, Change the Channel. Oh, I love that smile. Your smile was never meant to be painted on like your cat eye makeup. Girl, put that curling iron down and forget about that dress that you keep pulling on, which doesn't suit you. You look uncomfortable with that fake laugh and those even faker friends. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You won't be able to keep this act up forever. So set down your script and pick up what's left of who you really are. Because the carefree, fun-loving, eccentric, and completely lost version of you is who you ought to find. While you're looking for her, be sure you locate your middle finger. You'll need it for anyone who doesn't let the girl you're about to become. I am just a kind soul that crossed your path, who is concerned about your well-being, and is showing an act of kindness to you that was given to me, paying it forward. Go ahead and let your lips do that smiling curved thing that your real friends love on you. End poem.
So we do. Thank you very much. Gene, what's got for you? What do you think?
I think this is a good thing from Naomi's contest. I think that I love the way it started out. Your smile was never meant to be painted on like your cat eye makeup. That kind of makes you go, okay, where are we headed? And I like that. I'm going to let you in a little secret. You won't be able to keep this act up forever. So set down your scripts and pick up what's left of who you really are. And then it goes on, because the carefree, fun-loving, eccentric, and completely lost version of you is who you ought to find. And it just goes on. And, yeah, I love the line about the middle finger. I just thought it was really well done. It was very well put together, and I liked it. I just thought it was great. So excellent job.
Thank you, Dean. Pam, how about you?
I'm not sure if she's back yet, Rex.
Oh, okay. Weaver, you got to read this. How about you?
Oh, yes. Isn't it clever? It's so clever. I enjoyed it. I love it just hits on everything about being what you're not because you want to fit in. And I know that everybody comes across to other people differently. Your friends look at you differently. Your mother, your father would think of you differently. But this is just so clever. You look uncomfortable with that, even faker friends. And the fact that you should be yourself because yourself is carefree, fun-loving, eccentric, and completely lost version of what you were before. So I think this is, it reads like a conversation. It's so well put together, and so it flows so well that it does sound like an actual conversation, not something that somebody's made up. It's just, I said this to my friend last week because I was worried about my friend, and that's what it came across to me as somebody who cared enough to, because you could lose a friend by saying something like this to them, couldn't you? If you were to say to them, look, mate, you don't look great the way you're getting dressed up and everything. You could easily. So it's somebody who really cares. And I think it's very well written. And thank you very much for that one, My Angel 3. Yeah, thank you very much for sharing.
I can agree with you on that, Weaver. But I got to go a little bit different. It might, even though this could walk as somebody who's real, is a real friend and offering up those thoughts as to what who you once were, I think the deeper angle is this. As she's putting on that makeup and painting on the smile, so to speak, that inner sense of who she once was is re-emerging. and giving her almost a dress down as to what the hell are you doing? This isn't you. You're better than just this faux image that you paint on to everybody and the fake friends that are offered up in here. And she gives this piece here. While you're looking for her, be sure to locate your middle finger. You'll need it for anyone who doesn't like the girl you're about to become. That kind of gives a notation to the fun-loving, eccentric, almost complete lost version. So there's that notation, I think, of her mirrored image looking back at her in the mirror saying, yo, this just don't work. You got to get back to being who you are, not who you think you ought to be. And Pam, you're back?
I am, yes. And I read through this, and I enjoy the message in this one, the idea of encouraging someone to be themselves. I like the observational tone, and you look uncomfortable with that fake laugh and those even faker friends. And I, too, really like the middle finger part. While you're looking for her, be sure you locate that your middle finger. You'll need it for anyone who doesn't like the girl you're about to become. You know, I like the whole idea of moving forward in life, being true to yourself, and, you know, just giving the middle finger to anybody who doesn't accept the true beauty of you. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, thank you very much, Sam. And Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Pam, that brings me to you with a piece by Earth Passions called A Smile. So whenever you
are. All right. This is A Smile by Earth Passion, and it goes like this. All the power in the world lies in an honest smile, and all the courage so unfurled will change a life a while. A smile, a gift so free and gentle in the giving. I wish there was a special tree of smiles for all the living. End poem.
Great read that, Sam. Thank you very much. And, all right, Weaver, this one's up to you.
Thank you so much. This is lovely. What a beautiful little face that is. And this, it's so true. It's so something that everybody should have heard, because a smile, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to smile when things are changing around you and life is tough. But as it says, a gift that is free. So give it to as many people as you can. And I want to find that special tree for smiles for all the living. Yes, I think that's lovely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Dean, how about you?
I thought this was a sweet brevity. And I said it was as endearing as the images. The picture is, as Weaver said, a beautiful little face with a beautiful smile and big bright eyes. And I think that this brevity really really reflects it. It brings a smile to your face the same as the image does. A smile, a gift so free and gentle in the giving. I wish there was a special tree of smiles for all the living. It's just cute, and I think it was really well done. So nice work, Earth Passions, and thank you for sharing with us all.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
And it was a beautiful one to read. I love the musical, lyrical quality to this. Especially a smile, a gift so free and gentle in the giving. I like how she reminds us in this brevity that giving a smile and receiving a smile is a blessing. I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent, ladies. Thank you very much. I think the picture was deliberate because it's a reminder that most people forget that a smile is basically innocence. That's why the picture. And if you can take that in mind, how many times you've been to anywhere, a grocery store especially, and you're grumpy as shit, but you see a kid with a big grin on his face and you mug for them as they mug for you. and there's a smile across your lips, out of hand, just because it's there in its innocence. We forget that most smiles do come on that innocent note, and that's what should be the radiant thought, as opposed to the grim feelings most offer up. And hey, you know what? You can be, no matter how glum you are, a smile like that will put something on your face, or a little baby offering up little notes from a tram or a push cart, a trolley at the grocery store. So nice touch, Passion. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Well, Rex, I'm going to give you the next one to read, and this is called A Self-Smile by Wayne Jen.
Ah, cool. A Soft Smile by Wayne Jen. Headed out late. Had a flat tire. Have important meeting less than an hour. Hate changing flat in shirt and tie. Look up the gray clouds, ask Lord why. Look over at city bench, there sat a man. His head leaned over, had a letter in hand. I said, you all right? Slowly lifted his head. Had a twinkle in his eye from what he read. He said letter was from his only child. Spoke to me quietly, voice was mild. Son is looking for me, didn't know where I was. Never told him I was homeless, just because. He sat there a moment, only a short while. Then I noticed his wonderful soft smile. He said he missed his son. I almost cried. He canceled the meeting. Gave him a ride. End poem. All right, Pam, you got the lead off.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I really enjoyed this story poem. I like how it isn't just about the exchanging of smiles between strangers, but this exchanging of wisdom and stories in the heart. I especially like where he said letter was from his only child, spoke to me quietly, voice was mild, son is looking for me, didn't know where I was, never told him I was homeless just because. And that part really hits hard in the idea of how so many people, you know, don't want to reach out to loved ones because of perhaps the shame that they feel in their situation. I thought this was a wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think that this was an endearing light. It brings around to, first off, you know, I love the image that you chose for it. But I like the story of this man. It shows his heart and his soul throughout the piece, and the letter that he had in his hand. And, you know, I mean, the ending here, he sat there a moment, only a short while. Then I noticed his wonderful soft smile. He said he missed his son. I almost cried, canceled the meeting, and gave him a ride. You know, not only did they show the heart of the gentleman with the letter, but it shows the heart of the man driving the car. And I think that it was just a lovely, lovely write, and I enjoyed it very much. So thanks, Wayne, for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. And Weaver, how about you?
It was very, very well done. I think it's such a... It brings out the softness in people, things like this. Makes people realize that there is more to life than shouting at the Lord because you've got a flat tire. I thought it was going to be a lot sadder when we got to the second stanza where he's sitting on the bench, letter in his hand, and his head bowed, and I thought, oh no, it's going to be awful. But then he lifted his head and there was a twinkle in his eye because of what he'd read. His son was looking for him and wanted to see him. And so, you know, that was his choice. Was he going to put his embarrassment behind him and get in touch? Was he able to? And then you have that last stanza, which is just so lovely. So he took him, cancelled his meeting, and gave him a ride. Yes, I thought that's a lovely dig in the ribs to people. You know, be good to people. That's what you want to be. So, yes, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent. I can go along with that. Look at that picture. That's an aged and weathered face, the twinkle in those blue eyes, even though you can't tell, but I just know they're blue because they'd be a lot darker than any other color. And he's still got a smile on his face, so this does walk a nice note of what one can pay forward in the moment just from a smile. And when someone, well, you might think is sad, but he actually got the note itself was a happy moment. And even though he misses, hey, you know what? Doesn't hurt to offer someone a ride, at least get them to where maybe they can make that appointment and see their son in once more. So nicely done, Wayne. Thank you. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Thank you. We have another caller, so let me pick this up. Hello, 503. Who's calling, please?
Oh, hello.
Hi, is this Emmy?
This is Emmy.
Hi, Emmy. Welcome aboard. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, you're here just in time to hear The Girl in the Box by Diane Vee. And I have a sample for that, or an audio, whichever way we want to say. Yeah, here we go.
Girl in the Box by Diane Vee. I heard the workers laughing and oiled machinery churring. Bare walls muttered my name. Girl, stenciled onto the carton. Tightly sealed with ticky-tacky. Stamped as handle with care. Inartistically lettered in white. Then tossed onto the conveyor belt. Box was labeled this side up. Postage paid by the recipient. Thrown onto the delivery truck atop the coffee-colored cases. Smelling like gluey cellophane, I was pulled out of the tan box, inspected like a fumbling fish, and tossed into the defective pile. Stuffed back into the same box. Documented return to sender. Received in a few broken pieces with chipped and jagged edges. Flagged useless by the factory. Flung into the back of a semi. And trucked away to the landfill where I have yet to find myself.
Excellent read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Em, why don't we start with you since you're the new one in the room? Emmy, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry. There's a lot going on here. I think the details were just incredibly spot on. Like the gluey cellophane, the coffee-colored cases, and there's this theme sort of like commodification and exploitation specifically of like women. But I think this could also be applied to just citizens and kind of like the laboring party as a whole. And that, like, ultimately, it's often the case that people who are different in one way or another are usually regarded as defective and kind of sort of thrown out and sent away. And I think this just kind of is an excellent sort of metaphor for that very real experience that many people have to deal with.
Excellent. Thank you, Annie. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I love the idea of the extended metaphor of someone who people try to get them to fit into a box and stay in the box, And when they realize they won't, and they realize, as Emmy was touching on, that they're different, they're considered to be defective. You know, I thought it was particularly hard-hitting and stuffed back into the same box, documented a return to sender received in a few broken pieces with chipped and jagged edges. I feel like those word lines are particularly hard-hitting and harsh because it reflects on the idea of feeling like somebody, when they was made with flaws just because they don't meet your expectations of what a human should be or what a person should be. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Thank you. And Weaver, how about you?
Yes, it's a very clever one. I like this a lot. Reminds me of that song, especially the part where it says, bear with me a second, when it says, yes, tightly sealed with ticky-tacky, stamped this handle with care, where the little boxes song has that, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, and they all look the same. So basically, yeah, we are all supposedly following the same dictator of fashion or what we should or shouldn't think, read, eat. And then we have the free spirits who are not going to be the same as everybody else. They don't do it on purpose. It's not something they're doing for attention, I don't think. People who are different are just different. It's, you don't know you're different until you start to mingle with other people. When you get a little bit older, you realize you don't think the way they do or act the way they do. But it is a herd mentality, unfortunately. You know, and outside of the herd mentality, you have the wolves and the foxes and the people who could hurt people. So I thought this was a very, very clever poem, and I really enjoyed it. But it was so sad. Stuffed back into the same box and documented return to sender, received in a few broken pieces with chipped and jagged edges. I know that all too well, being a seller on eBay. They just toss everything around. So you have to be very, yep. So yes, I thought it was wonderful, Diane, and I really thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Weaver. Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was nicely penned. I thought it was a great metaphor throughout, and it was really well expressed. You know, sad, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, because I think at one time or another, a lot of us have felt that way, where people want us to be what they want us to be, and you know, we don't all fit in the box. I know I don't. So, but I think it was very nicely done, Diane, and a great audio to go with it. So, thanks for sharing.
Absolutely, great comments, everybody. I'm going to go with age on this because that sort of ticky-tacky and gluey cellophane walks me back about 50 years when it comes to tape itself. And the thought with chipped and jagged edges also kind of paints the notion of age. And that fact, when you get to a certain point, you're labeled as useless, so to speak, because you've got nothing to offer. You can't do what you used to do. But they forget about what's left within the mind and what can be offered up as poignant and still useful. So, nicely done, Diane. Thank you. All right, Jean. We're back to see you.
So the next I have for Miss Weaver of Dreams, and this is called Oh How the Evening Splits Tune by Passion Promise.
Oh, unmute. Thank you. I'll be with you in a moment.
No problem.
Here we are. Here we are, we're all set to go. Oh, how the evening splits between the moon and stars, and the drama-filled day is carried away as I intercepted a glimpse of all. Corner to corner had piqued my interest, and an all-encrypted day spun into clay as I become lost on a mouthful of pearls and giggles from way down deep. Within moments, all pain flutters off, and all horrid thoughts swirled from my head. Oh, glorious smile, you are amazing, spinning me in a whirlwind of love again. What poetry lingers off the tongue that's hidden? Would it speak in romantic riddles? Let me lean in closer, smile smoother, and breathe in your soft promises of passion. Ah, the beauty, that picturesque smile, perfect poetry performance. End poem.
Great read, Reba. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you're up first.
All right. This is a beautiful heartfelt write. I love how it has a classical feel to it, with, especially with the beginning lines, oh, how the evening splits between the moon and stars. You know, this definitely feels like a classic poem that will last the ages. I also really like the imagery as I become lost in the mouthful of pearls and giggles from way down deep. You know, there's this idea to me, I think, of love, of healing, of, you know, I like the reference to poetry, you know, ah, the beauty, that picturesque smile, perfect poetry performance. The idea of feeling yourself become joyful because of seeing someone's smile spread across their face. I think it's beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, yeah. And Annie, how about you?
Is that me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say kind of the same, like the mouthful of pearls really stood out to me, and I think it's sort of having to do with maybe a certain speechlessness as well, and sort of just being kind of lost in like a feeling and sort of having difficulties really putting into words what you're thinking, almost like gargling on marbles, you could say. And then I think that was also good stuff. Corner to corner sort of seemed almost like a smile in that moment, like corner of your lips to basically like that. And yeah, that was basically what I was thinking about.
Thank you. And Reva, how about you? You got to read.
It was very enjoyable to read. I thought it was really lovely. I liked the way she sort of worked in her, I would call it a handle, Passion's Promise. Breathe in your soft promises of passion. I thought, I don't know whether she, well, she must have meant it, but it was so perfectly put in there. You wouldn't forget her name, would you? Yes, I thought it was that first stanza, as everybody said, just set it up for me as well. It gave you the feel of what was going to come. I liked that as well. I became lost in a mouthful of pearls and giggles from way down deep. Yes, it's very loving, very sensual, and just perfect poetry performance. I liked it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Reva. Jean, how about you?
You know, I think I like your take on the prompt here, and the second stanza was a perfect lead-in. You know, I become lost on a mouthful of pearls and giggles from way down deep. But the next stanza is the one I really liked. Within moments, all pain fluttered off, all horrid thoughts swirled from my head. Oh, glorious smile, you are amazing, spinning me in a whirlwind of love again. Because it does, you know, sometimes it really does only take a smile to turn us around and have us looking at things from a different point of view, to change, you know, what's bad or rotten or kind of crummy in the day and bring us around to a pleasant atmosphere and attitude again. So I kind of like that there, and I thought it was well done. It's just a well-written piece. So nice work, as always.
Yes, it was. I like that thought with the mirrored image from the prompt itself. The sunny smile, little across in the evening, but like morning light, scattered the night, made the day worth living. And hit that note with, oh, how the evening splits between the moon and stars, and a drama-filled day is carried away. As I intercepted a glimpse of awe, that kind of hits on that notion of a sunset, beautiful in the moment, corner to corner, piqued my interest, and an all-encrypted day spun into clay, as I became lost in a mouthful of pearls and giggle from way down deep. Mouthful of pearls, you could offer up that note to the sky itself being a mouth and the stars twinkling out being those pearls in the moment. And the giggles are all that sort of, yeah, I've forgotten what it's like to look up at the night sky and see all those stars. So you get a moment catching yourself and laughing inwardly. And I think it walks night very well on that sort because you offer that notion at the end, a perfect poetry performance, and that lingers with that stanza before it, kind of offers up that notion of, yeah, I know better how things can be. And in that moment, you feel better about the day itself. All right, Jean, glad I could see you.
Oh, my, let me see. Where was I going? Well, Weaver just read that one. So it take me to Pam. Okay, Pam. I'll put this next one up for you. And this is by Jack Blue. And it is called A Catch the Rain 7.
Then you did say my name, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. A Cat's Purveying Number 7 by Jack Blue. The moonlight mirroring Celine's endless clarinet covered all the greenery in chromatic amethyst. All was sweet or smooth like nightingales sulfated. Some persistent bugs hovering around my sight interfered with the grace of midsummer's transiency. Sweeping them relentlessly, I slumbered on my tree. Someone murmured loud, somewhere like a witch, when the starry canopy disappeared with the moon, drifting through the space to the distant sphere of hell. The lunar heaven was away when the dead infinity silenced every melody, sailing dreamers seven seas, mewling virtually aloud, I was lost in emptiness. Something sapphire twinkled pianissimo, like a tiny galaxy of royal blue infinity, or an ancient violin hovering allegro. Shadows lingered on, but I opened my clavier to pursue the sapphire flaming like the moon, over there or far away, to be violet tomorrow. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Jack's getting a little longer in his thesis. Nice to see. All right, Weaver, why don't we start with you, please?
Thank you. Moonlight mirroring Celine's endless clarinet. I love the way he uses the colors as well in his writing, as well as we've got the nightingale, the sounds are there, but all the colors as well, covered all greenery and chromatic amethysts. Yes, I thought it was lovely. And we bring in, here we have something that everybody's aware of, and you don't very often see that in a poem, is the persistent bugs hovering around my sight, interfered with the grace of midsummer's transiency, sweeping them relentlessly, I slumbered on my tree. Yes, they're deceptive until you start to really get into them. They start off and you think, well, yeah, that's nice, moonlight mirroring, yes, but then it gets deeper, there's more in it, and I just think he writes so well, especially about the sea, which I like. Yes, I think this is beautiful, and as you say, a little bit longer than normal, which is lovely, because you really get to go in and enjoy it. So thank you very much.
Yes, he does. Thank you, Reva. And Em, how about you?
Yeah, I was reading over this quite a bit because there seems to be a lot here. One of the things that really stuck out to me was mewling virtually aloud, and I was thinking almost of like possibly like a storm or like thunder, something to that effect, but I could be way off on that, honestly. There was a lot of like really interesting stuff that kind of just made me think. One of the things that I noticed was to pursue the sapphire flaming like the moon, and to be violet tomorrow, which would almost suggest like a fading in intensity. Because if you're, it's sort of like a thing with like blue stars, they turn redder as time goes on because they start to age more and they aren't necessarily as hot as they keep going. So that was definitely very interesting to me. But yeah, it's a lovely, lovely rite filled with a lot of neat stuff to kind of think about, I feel.
Thank you, Pam. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I like how he brings us into this tale, this journey of a cat taking a moonlight walk. I like how he brings in the imagery, the colors, and the sound, especially the lunar heavens was away when the dead infinity silence every melody, sailing, dreamers, seven seas, mewling virtually aloud, I was lost in emptiness. I like how it has that feeling of loneliness, but also that feeling of just really appreciating the beauty of the night. So a wonderful, dark, and haunting rite, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dean, how about you?
Well, I like this piece a lot. I think that, as you said, it's a little longer than some of the ones I've seen lately from Luke. And I think that his imagery throughout this piece was wonderful. And, you know, as always, I always speak of his use of color and musical references. This is no different than those. I really enjoyed each stanza, but I thought that it was a great closing stanza. You know, shadows lingered on, but I opened my clavier to pursue the sapphire flaming like the moon over there and far away to be violet tomorrow. And I thought that was just, I don't know, it just was a neat way to end it because it kind of left you hanging a little bit, you know, on the thought. And I think that was great. So just a wonderful job. And, I enjoyed this piece very much. Now, just so you know, we have another caller. We have Robert M. on the line. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the party. Good to have you. Uh-oh. Can you hear me, Robert? No, you're static, Robert.
Misconnection?
I don't know if the connection. It shows he's there. We don't hear you, Robert. I don't know if you hear me. Maybe.
Sounds like he's trying to come through, but not coming through.
No, he dropped. He dropped.
Right. Great comments, you guys. I like the thought in this. It offers up that note of the moon rising and running through the evening itself. Someone murmured loud, somewhere like a witch, when the starry canopy disappeared with the moon, drifting through the space to the distant sphere of hell. That distant sphere of hell, I think, is that notation to the sun, which would be coming up eventually. Now, the back end, the last three stanzas hit me on with the lunar heaven was away when the dead infinity silenced every melody, sailing dream of seven seas. Almost like a note to sleeping in the moment, mewling virtually aloud, I was lost in emptiness. And then that second last stanza, something sapphire twinkle peninsula. Something hits on that note, a sparkling singular star in the moment. And the thought of maybe catching it again tomorrow, it'll be a slightly different shade of color. And looking forward to the fact that tomorrow would bring that that star once more. All right, Dean, where are you?
I don't know where the hell I'm at. Through in my life. But it did bring Robert back on. Robert, can you hear us this time? Or better yet, can we hear you? Maybe. No. I don't hear you. I'll tell you what, we'll keep working on that. I'm going to put up a piece with an audio. It just so happens to be by Robert M. And I'll see if we can't get this to work while we're at it. So, here we go. Put this up. Well, let me try hitting the button again.
This is my recital of The Haunted Palace, a poem inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. In the bleakest of amber eyes, houses a place lost to time. Through demise after demise, its halls no longer chime. Luminosity's auspicious glow held dominion upon each wall. Over time's relentless flow, only whispers and shadows crawl. For once there was warm embrace as gaieties intertwined. Restless spirits claimed this place and all that were confined. Every memory once held dear, every dream that manifested, was lost to the insatiable fear, leaving sorrow uncontested. Unadulterated anguish seeping as calamity unabated, ghosts of promises worth keeping now utterly decimated. Each graven remnant clawing to escape the frigid tomb is just another specter gnawing at the chains of their own doom. Now a crypt of ruthless cold entombing sin upon sin, a sight of misery to behold beneath my wretched skin.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for the sound pad. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, why don't we start with you, please?
Absolutely. It does not surprise me at all to see that Robert was attracted to an Edgar Allan Poe contest. This is beautifully written. It has a wonderful rhyme and flow to it. What I really like about this, and in my personal opinion, one of the most important things about having a write about a house is to make the house as much of a character of the story and poem as the people and the ghosts that inhabit it. And I like how this is told from a perspective of somebody who once knew joy and happiness, and through the betrayal came to be hurt. I really like the phrase, luminosity's auspicious glow held dominion upon each wall. And then every memory once held dear, every dream that manifested was lost to the insatiable fear, leaving sorrow uncontested. You know, I think it's a great idea on the a wonderful dark ride on the idea of being lost to fear and being, you know, feeling like you can't escape from the misery of yourself. And so beautifully written and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Weaver, how about you?
Oh, yeah. I do like a dark poem. This is perfect, isn't it? So beautifully done. Sorry, I'm losing my voice again. I apologize. I did love that particular stanza where it, once there was warm embrace as gaieties intertwined, restless spirits claimed this place and all that were confined. So, yeah. I don't know why a place can become haunted suddenly. It must be because of the dreadful things done in a place that then spirits want to be around, that kind of thing. But yes, I thought it was a beautifully written and lovely dark piece of poetry, and I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Weaver. Amy, how about you?
I definitely like this sort of idea of, like, it's sort of a common idea that I see in horror stories of, like, houses and places that kind of have these memories sort of built within them due to things that go on, and that being kind of a source of, like, of like hauntings, but I know another sort of concept I think is really well done here is the thematics of it. Just the sheer consistency of the tone from stanza to stanza, and that everything sort of fits together and matches the theme. And I don't remember the exact essay that I read that sort of spoke about that, but that would sort of be known as like unity of effect, which was another thing that was written by Poe. So I think he would, I mean, he was a pretty harsh critic in his day, but I think he would, take a liking to this piece.
Thank you, Em. And you're right, he was a harsh critic in his day. Gene, how about you?
Yeah, hopefully it works better. I think that this was just a wonderful piece. You know, Robert's eye for detail in these dark lights is pretty incredible. You know, it's just fabulous imagery throughout. He has such a way of kind of putting you into the darkness with what he writes. And it is a great piece. A reflection of something Poe might come up with. You never know with Robert. He does a lot of great poems, and I think that they're just always well done. And I love the details throughout. So with that being said, I'm going to leave it there because I have to write my comment now because I have to hurry off to go get another piece. Sorry. Bye.
Okay. There's a note too. It offers up two sides of the coin. You get that first stanza is full on, there's a touch of darkness. Then you get a little bit of what was once there, luminosity's auspicious glow, held upon each wall. Over time's relentless flow, only whispers and shadows crawl. So you walk into that bit of colored dominion there, and it closes off dark, and then he does it again, where once was warm embrace of gaieties entwined, restless spirits claim this place, and all that were confined. And he kept up that pace of offering up what once was and then is, and rolling into the last couple of stanzas where each graven remnant clawing to escape the frigid tomb is just another speck of norm at the chains of their own doom. So this points to the notation of what once was a happy house, what went on before that house actually got this way was something. There's a sense of desiccation. All that that is and was is buried beneath that house and lives within that house as not just the boards, but as the notations to the walls. The things that breathe within, the little creeks, everything has a meaning that walks within this house itself, and it all walks on the sins committed in that house and why it's no longer a house that is an affordable place for anyone to actually live in, except those who might really enjoy that lifestyle. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Holy moly, those two really long ones. I have one for right now. Okay, this one here that I'm going to put up next is called Hellfire by some chickie named Weaver of Dream, and I have an audio. So let me put this one up.
Oh.
Okay, here we go.
Just one step. It only took that one step. Then I was spiraling downwards, no control. A second of agony, I saw a black void open. Where's the bright light welcoming my soul? There is a dank gray mist that eddies around me, blurring my vision, and hidden within it I hear sniggering evil voices, low growls, scratching claws. Those can only be portents of doom and despair. when you visited me at night, lay beside me, held me close, filled me with want and desire. You spoke to me of being together always. There was no mention of brimstone and fire. What a cowardly, craven way to garner souls. What happened to free will when making choices? I will find the others that you've trapped like this. Watch what happens when we unite our voices.
Great read, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Talk about getting buggered. Damn. Amy, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is definitely a great great write, as always. I think the real standout line for me was, there is a dank gray mist that eddies around me. Not usually the first thing I think of when I think of dank mist. I think of, like, marijuana smoke, actually, but in this case, I think it's definitely probably something else. But the verb eddy in particular is such a fantastic verb in that sense, especially if you kind of like understand. Like, I actually studied oceanography, so one of the things I actually studied was like eddy currents and stuff. So that kind of immediately stuck out to me. And then, of course, the rest of it was very great, too. But, yeah, that's what I had.
Thank you, Amy. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful dark tale. And with the mention of when you visited me at night, lay beside me, held me close, you know, I couldn't help but think of an incubus visiting. And I like how this is a dark tale of seduction and betrayal and wonderful word choices. I really liked the use of the word sniggering, evil voices, low growls, scratching claws. Like, you just could hear those sounds, and it sends shivers up and down your spine. A wonderful dark right, Weaver. Very well done.
Thank you.
And Jean, how about you?
Well, that woman, that Weaver girl, she's something. I thought it was a great job, honestly, Kate. Very well written. But I must say, I like how you told them off in the last stanza, or put them on notice, let's put it that way. You know, what a cowardly, craven way to garner souls. What happened to free will when making choices? I will find the others that you've trapped like this. Watch what happens when we unite our voices. You just tell them. Don't let them get away with that silly stuff. I mean, you know, I think that's pretty clever the way you kind of, you know, like I said, oh, God, I think it's the word I used already. That's awful. But I do like the way that you pretty much told them off at the end and said, hey, you know, you're on notice. That's what I said. You put them on notice. We're going to fix your wagon. And then some. So I really did. I thought this was a great job. And, you know, for four stanzas, I think you kind of told a hell of a story there. So, nice work.
Thank you so much.
Well said, everyone. I got a hit on that note of that shock notation to the first stanza. A second of agony, I saw a blank void open. Where's the bright light welcoming my soul? There's a note of shock in that. And then everything kind of comes to focus, even though it's you got that dank gray mist that's eddying your blurred vision, but you can still hear what's crawling around within that mist, the sniggering evil voices, the low growls, the scratching claws. Those can only be portents of doom and despair. Then reality dawns. You go from shock to reality, and then the notation and that next stanza of being betrayed, because this incubus or evil entity had spent time with you, had mentioned the thought of brimstone and fire, yet that's exactly what you get. And I like the turnaround with the last stanza, offering up notation of being cowardly, the craven way to garner souls, and then you sort of actually wandering down in that abyss long enough to find like-minded voices that can actually stand up to that which was then. I like a different note, a different kind of tempo.
Thank you so much.
And I like that picture.
Yes, so did I. I thought
yeah,
it was very
cool.
Good. Yes, thank you.
All right, Jean, we're back on you for at least one more.
Well, I'm going to have to try and squeeze two in here. So first one I'm going to put up is called A Thorn in the Ribs by Pam Rugg.
All right, this is A Thorn in the Ribs, and it goes like this. Dripping Jezebel limbs during dark agendas, songs that pierce lingering travelers pulled under, a final beckoning of nightshade marmalade, begging a thorn in the ribs. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And, all right, Weaver, why don't we go with you first?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Oh, dear. I muted myself. Excuse me. What a beautiful picture that is. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Whoa, I like it. Dripping Jezebel's limbs stirring dark agendas, yes. Songs that pierce lingering travelers. Oh, yes. This is a complete story in 25 words, done so beautifully. Told. I love the way you stagger your lines. I think that is so cool. I think everybody should do it like that. It makes it look just takes you down and down through the poem until you get to the end of this, begging a thorn in the ribs. So I thought it was beautifully written. I your choice of words, sorry, losing my voice, of nightshade marmalade, a final beckoning of nightshade marmalade. Beautiful. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Weaver.
Like you said, Weaver. Emmy, how about you?
I actually remember reading about Jezebel being kind of like a biblical figure that was sort of associated with murder in some way or another. So I can definitely kind of see where like the nightshade marmalade came from. It's really short. It's simple, but I feel like every part of it is pretty strong, and it kind of just gets better as it goes along. So, yeah, great work.
Thank you.
And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was an excellent brevity, Pam. You know, it was a great story told in so few words, which is the point of the brevity. But I really enjoyed it. The image is great, and I'm not sure, I don't know. I look at that image and I'm like, okay. And I look at your words and I'm like, where did Jesse put all that together? But it was an excellent job. It really was very well expressed. So nice work, a nice job, and enjoyed very
Thank
much.
You.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Dripping Jezebel Limbs, songs that pierce lingering travelers. There is a note to the siren song in that. I'm not quite sure about tasting of tomato marmalade, but okay. It's always the first time. So it's a sweet and bitter note to that being, hey, you take a bite of this, you won't be taking another one. Begging a thorn in the ribs offers up that notion of, you're dipping into the poison, whether it's tomatoes, eggplants, or whatever. It's your last one. And that also, that ribs kind of points back to the notation of the apple off the tree in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, you shouldn't have gone there. Now is your time to go.
Yep. Thank you, Rick.
All right. What you got next there, Jean?
Okay, and the next one I have is called Anxiety and Intimacy by Emiliana. So whenever you're ready, Miss
Okay. All right, I will do my best. It's okay, it's just me. Weeds tickled my fingers. The forest died uprooted from my hair to drown in wilted cotton waves, tall sides that lined my gaze and the low ceiling where my eyes could perch above my nose and roll across. It was me that barely showed behind that blackened wood rotator, yet she was there and I scrambled. I don't know why. Each day I imagine pig iron razors digging through the road at the boundary, stripping asphalt as I pass by on my green line commute. Sharp, the light of 8:30 digs past my hair and I reciprocate, or why do I freeze up and strip down to cover up? Why am I overheating in tiny splinters that decorate my map, my dots of defaced follicles? I think it reminded, rebranded. I set my hair and calibrated to the syllables, waited for the mark to collect on my cheek like rainwater in a pail. It was another point where I didn't measure up, and for all my worthlessness, my gaze retreated past the window to grip the candied grass and ponder if I was annual, blooming and expiring in the span of a year. That door was both a wall but just as fragile to be torn aside and let him in. When I heard the click of metal joints dislocating and the tremors of wood released to plunge into the hollow yoke of my room, I forgot to lock it, and I rotored and stretched to push it close and flip the light switch. She was still there, looking, urging. I flashed a frame or two of me, just dolled up in shoes that match me regardless of direction, a dress that radiates past mid-thigh and the ocean basin of thought cycling through my head on a high chance of hurricane schedule. Rest, because it's okay, it's just me.
Great read, Em. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't we kick it off with you?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was a beautiful, heartfelt and emotive write. You could hear the emotion in your voice as you read it. There's a strong sense of feeling rejected, of feeling unloved and unwanted and having to hide yourself. I really like, yet she was there and I scrambled. I don't know why each day imagine pig iron razors digging through a road at the boundary, stripping asphalt as I pass by on my green line commute, sharp the light of 8:30 digs past my hair. And, you know, why do I freeze up but strip down to cover up? Why am I overheating in tiny splinters? You know, the idea of those tiny splinters, that kind of pain that feels like, you know, sharp splinters going beneath your fingernails. That hurts so much and can constantly just poke and gnaw at you. I also really like, you know, how there's an intensity to this and the imagery of buildup. And so just beautifully written, Emmy, and very well done.
Thank you. And Weaver, how about you? Weaver?
I'm so sorry. My voice is gone again. I could just quickly say that was absolutely beautiful and so brave to share that with all of us. And brave. That's the word for it, brave. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Weaver. Jean?
You know, I mean, I think that this was a very well done write. And I like how you expressed it and, you know, showed us a little bit in depth in this, you know, of who you are and sometimes the way you feel and think. And I think that that was pretty interesting. I do want to read it a second time. Because, you know, of course, I felt like I was racing through everything in my head. So I'd like to comment on this in writing after the show. So, but I think you did an excellent job, for sure.
Thank you, Jean. And it's in the middle of this piece that holds a real note of distinction. It was another point where I didn't measure up. and for all my worthlessness, my gaze retreated past the window to grip the candied grass and ponder if I was annual, blooming and expiring in the span of a year. It was quite the note there to feeling lost and kind of tossed aside. And that thought of blooming and expiring in the span of a year, the candied grass kind of offering that note of something sweeter on the other side of things. That door was both a wall, but just as fragile to be torn aside and let him in. So there's also a note of abuse that sits on that there. And then the thought of when I heard the click of metal joints dislocating and the tremors of wood released to plunge into the hollow yoke of my room, I forgot to lock it. And I wrote it, I stretched to push it closed, tasting of unease in the moment, as well as, oh my God, what now? There's a sense of urgency right then and there. And then the thought, it's okay, it's just me on the back end. Notation to actually fully embracing the notion, the idea of who and what you are, as opposed to what each and everyone else is probably bandied about, thrown at you. It's a great piece. All right, Jean, I guess it's coming back to you for closing notes.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody who called in tonight and hung out with us. Emmy, Pam, Kate, Robert for trying. You know, he really did try. So he's in the next messing up. He did stay on the line. He said he stopped hearing everything after Pam's poem. So anyway, this was a great night of poetry. We have, I think, 7 carryovers. Which I thought was kind of amazing. I thought we were making a good time and what have you, but we had some last-minute entries that kind of were hanging there. So I want to thank everybody who did put poetry up tonight, and if you did not hear your piece, I can assure you it will be on next Friday. I can tell you S. Sharp, Luke J.R., DJ G.S., David Troll of Ireland, Jack Tomkovic, E.J. Cool, and Louie Wildup. Are all the carryovers. I'll be looking forward to those next week. And I want to thank everybody. Rex, thanks for co-hosting with me. It was a great night. And I appreciate you putting up with me. And, it's a nice night of poetry. So everyone have a wonderful weekend and a great week next week. And Kate, go rest that voice now.
Yes, I'm certainly going to try that. Thank you.
Okay. A little hot toddy will fix it. Promise. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And good night.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
Good night, everybody.